We're learning a Maimer, a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe of Chabad, Rabbeinu Shmuel. This discourse basically is talking about the idea that the only true existence is God. There's nothing else that has an independent, this is actually the meaning of true existence, nothing else has an independent existence except for God. He's the only one. Now, let's move on. Nimtza comes out. There's nothing else material, like a material thing, except for godliness. Because the truth is that this power of God of concealing himself is also divine, is elokus, divinity, just like the power of God to reveal himself. Like, don't think there are basically two gods. A God that reveals and a God that conceals. And they're constantly fighting it with each other. I want to show myself. No, you want to have to hide yourself. I want to... No. This would be like... I don't know if this is the best way of saying it, but whatever. This would be like the Christian mindset. God of good and God of bad. They're fighting all the time. So instead of saying good and bad, say revelation and concealment. Oh, Judaism has a great thing. Revelation and concealment is just two gods. Still two gods. No. Don't think this way. You're wrong. This is only one God. And he expresses himself, either showing himself or, which is also an expression in itself, hiding himself. That's also expressing, but hiding. And both things are godliness. It's just one God. Either you show yourself or you hide yourself, but it's just one person, so to speak. It's not a person, but whatever, one God. As it's written, I will wait for God, then he hides his countenance, just as, now the Rebbe is explaining, just as there is a name of God with four letters and so on, that it can be revealed, it can be seen, understood, whatever. There's also a name of God with four letters that conceals his countenance. Both powers, the power of concealment and the power of revelation, Magbil in this case would be like limitation, whatever, because any revelation is a limited thing. It's like a very philosophical idea. But whatever you reveal, it means in itself a limitation. You can't, it's impossible for a human being to show himself or herself, whatever, completely. And we're not talking about body, not body, clothes, no, garments. That's not the point. The point is, like, ask any person, show me who you really are. What is the guy going to say? Hello, I'm Tuvia. There's not much you can say. Like, you would need a constant living with this person to see how he is a father, how he is a daughter, a son, and this and that. It's impossible. And even so, even if you're with the guy the whole day and you see the guy acting the whole day, you don't know what the guy is thinking. So it's impossible. That's why any revelation means in itself a limitation. This is what I'm showing you. And you see it and say, oh yeah, he's a great guy. But you don't know what's going on. Any revelation, it's in itself a limitation. So going back to the words of the Rebbe, the power, the strength of Hester, of concealment, and the power of Magbil, of limitation, Hemelokus, they're both godliness, just as the power of infinity. And as it's written in this holy book, Avodas HaKodesh, the author Meir Ibn Gabay, who was a great, great Mekubal, he lived just before the Arizal. So whatever he wrote got already darkened, so to speak, by the Arizal. But he was a great, great Mekubal. He wrote a book, Avodas HaKodesh, a huge book, explaining philosophically, Kabbalah, what it is and what it's talking about, and so on. And in certain places in Hasidus, in many places, he's quoted. The most famous quote that of his book is this one that comes right now. What is that, why does the Kodesh say? What does the Meir Ibn Gabay say? Sheim Toimar, if you're going to say, She'elokus u koyach habilti ba'al gvul, that godliness, you know what God is? infinity. Oh, what a nice definition of godliness. Ve'ein lo koyach bigvul, and you're going to say that God is not finite. He doesn't have power in limitation. Ata mechazre shlemusei. You're actually preventing God from being complete. Yeah, he's infinite and he's not finite. You're wrong. Uve'emes, the truth is, shedesh ha'gvul unay le'yosei mikol ha'bilti ba'gvul. This is not from the Avodas HaKodesh. This comes already from Kabbalah, Hasidus, etc. So from the Avodas HaKodesh comes the idea that God is shleimusa de'chola. He is the completeness of everything. He is infinite and finite at the same time. Ah, you're going to say it's impossible. It's a paradox. That's God. He's not limited to our understanding of what it means and what it... No, he's God. That's why he's God. Ube'emes, the truth is, now the Rebbe is going a little bit deeper now. Be'emes, shoyrish ha'gvul ulnai le'yoyse mikoyach ha'bilti ba'al gvul. The truth is that the root, the source of limitations, it's even higher than the power of unlimited. As it's written somewhere else, I'm not going to explain this now, regarding a very Kabbalistic idea, Reshima, whatever that means. Ve'ayim b'makom acher, go look somewhere else. Be'in Reshima, Hakika, Hatziva, Asiya. Okay, these names. Go look somewhere else what these names mean. Reshima means like a mark. Hakika means carving. Hatziva also means like creation. Asiya means action. Whatever. Go look somewhere else. It's explained over there. Whatever that means. Ve'zehu, mashikos of ochen adokel nistater. This is what the psalm says, actually. 130-something. Effectively, you are a God. You're a all-powerful that hides, conceals himself. What does that mean? What is David HaMelech saying? King David? Pirush. Atahu bechinas gilui lenoichach. When we say you, David HaMelech is calling God you. When you're saying you, you're really talking about the essence of a person. Like whatever is revealed from this person, you have it in front of you, you. And you say you. Ukeshem she'ata ubebechinas gilui, just as you are revealed to me. Kemaken ato mamesh, the same thing is you, kel mistater. You hide yourself. It's the same you. It's just you. Hainu bechinas koyach mistater. That means the power of God to conceal himself. So just as he reveals himself, at the same time he, his essence, conceals himself. It's the same me, so to speak. A simple example of this idea, which is a very deep and complex idea, but a simple example would be if a person wants to actually pick up something, like with your arms, you want to pick up something, so you have two movements happening exactly at the same time. On one hand, you're expanding your hand because you want to pick up whatever you want to pick up, and at the same time, you're actually preventing your hand from going further because you just want to pick up this and not something that is beyond this. So at the same time, you're going forward and stopping. It's just two things happening at the same time. Same thing happens with God. He shows himself and he conceals himself. But you can't say it like it's two parts of me. One part moves on and there's a conflict with the other part that stops moving. And no, it's just me. I'm trying to pick up something. That's all. And I move forward and I backwards, whatever, to pick up this thing. It's two powers within myself. Venimza comes out. Shelefize lo yesh klal shum davar zulos is barach. According to this, there's nothing else except for God. He called the varim agashmim asher nisavu hem elokus mamesh, because all the material things that were created are really godliness, literally godliness. Everywhere you can put your eyes on is godliness. Chinas dvar Hashem, that's the word of God. Amehave you, that creates that thing you're looking at, umekaimoy, and sustains that thing that you're looking at. Ukemashikos v'shefesh beinim chelek beis pere gimel. As it's written in the second part of Tanya, in the third chapter, Shari Chud v'emunah, that's what it's called, the portal of unity of God and faith of God and so on. It says over there, imale nitna reshut la'ayin lirois uleasig, if it would have been given permission for the eye to see and to grasp, Es a chayus ve a ruchnis shebechol nivre a shefei a boi mi moitze pi avai ye beruach pif. What would you be able to see? The godly, the strength and the spirituality of every creature, that this strength of God is actually flowing to this creature from the word of God, and the ruach piv means the air from his mouth, whatever. If you would be able to see, lo yahayagash mizanivra bechumru mamash aniriklal leineinu, then the material part, the physical part of the creation, would not be seen to our eyes. You either see the physicality of the thing or the spirituality of the thing. You can't see both things at the same time. Ki hu batel b'metzius mamesh, because the physical part of a creature is completely nullified legabei achayus v'aruchnius sheboy, in comparison or nullified to the vitality and the spirituality of the creature inside of it. Me'achar shemi biladei aruchnius hu ayin ve'efes mamesh, because if it wouldn't be for the spirituality within each creature, it would disappear completely. It would be nothing, literally. As if it would never been created, literally. So again, either you focus your life on physical things, or you focus your life on spiritual things. Both things at the same time, they don't exist. I'm sorry. You're lost. Because the same, it's exactly the same thing in all aspects of life. Literally, all aspects of life. If you focus on physicality, you can't, it's impossible for you to focus on spirituality. And if you focus on spirituality, you don't care about material world. You just don't care. You don't see it. There's a museum in Eretz Israel. I never went over there, but I just heard, and it's interesting, the idea. Even if it's not true, it doesn't really matter. It's an example for this. It's very good. There's a museum of blind people in Eretz Israel. That's what I heard. And you're guided through the museum. Everything is dark, of course. You don't see anything, even if you actually see, but you don't see anything. And somebody's guiding you. And this person that is guiding you appears to the people being guided like a very wise person and very, wow, amazing, the things that he says and the thing that, whatever she says, I don't know. And then when the museum actually finishes, you're like, quote unquote, in love with this person. Why so wise and so great? Then when you get to see this person, he's like a small person like this, all not nice, like really not a nice person. You would never think that this ugly person is actually so wise. And then you realize, oy vey, through the museum, I thought this was the greatest person in the world, like wisest person. I want to be with this person my whole life. But then you see the person, you say, oy vey, I can't even see the face of this person. I don't like this person at all. It's terrible. So again, if you focus on spirituality, you don't care about materiality, material world. And if you focus on the material world, it's impossible for you to see spirituality. Impossible. Okay, let's move on. We are ruach nitzashefei alav, the spirituality that is flowing into the creature, mimoitze pi avai, into any creature, any creation. Mimoitze pi avai yevruach pi, from the words of God and from his mouth, whatever. This is the only thing, this spirituality that flows into the creature, into the creation, that's the only thing that sustains and creates this thing, physical thing, from nothing into something. And creates it, imken, if this is so, what's the reality of every single creature in the world? God. Godliness that is giving life to every single creature. Besides godliness, there's nothing else. Ubiur dvarav. What's the explanation of these words that the Alter Rebbe, actually the founder of Chabad, brings in this second part of chapter of Tanya, in chapter 3? What does that mean? Biur dvarav. The explanation is like this. Shehamar shu batu b'metzius mamesh. What does it mean that the creature, each creature, is actually completely nullified in existence to the godliness that flows from God into this creature to create it and to sustain it? What does that mean, this bitul, this nullification thing? What's the meaning? Hine, now, noida ki bitul b'metzius uke inyan mashikosu v'moyshe. V'nachnu ma. It is known that this idea is a Hasidic, very famous, common idea in Hasidus, bitul b'metzius, complete nullification. I don't know, metzius means existence, but it's like nullification of existence, like a complete, absolute nullification. I'll give you an example before moving on, because I think it's going to be easier. There are basically two general types of bitul, of nullification. Bitul ayesh, bitul b'metzius. Bitul ayesh means, literal translation, simple. Nullification of the something, of the being. Something like that. Yesh means something being. And then bitul b'metzius means complete, absolute nullification. What's the difference? Very simple example. Suppose a professor that is giving a class in university of whatever he's giving a class, and he knows his stuff. He knows what he's saying, and he's good at what he does. And he's giving a class, and suddenly, let's say he's giving a class on math, whatever, mathematics. So suddenly comes into the room the greatest mathematician in the of all times, whatever. This is the greatest of the greatest, I don't know, Pythagoras, whatever, comes into the room. And suddenly, this professor says, "Whoa, I can't continue talking in front of this guy. It's impossible. Forget it. I'm going to shut up. He's going to continue giving the class. Me? What do you want from me? He is the master of masters. So I'm shutting up. He continues with the class." But inside of him, this professor says, "I also know math. I do understand that this guy is the greatest. Ooh, nothing greater than him. But I also know math. He knows more than me. That's okay. But so I'm going to mevatel. I'm going to nullify myself in front of this guy because this guy is great. But I'm also something. I exist. If this guy leaves the room, who is going to continue giving the class? Me. So I'm also here, but in front of him, I'm nothing. That's bitul ayesh. I am something being nullified." For whatever reason, in this case, the example, this great mathematician in the room, I'm nothing. I'm not going to talk in front of him. Actually, our sages say in Pirkei Avos, in the Ethics of Fathers, who is a wise person? Somebody that doesn't talk in front of somebody wiser than him. It's okay. I don't have anything to say. You're wiser than me. You talk. You give the class. I'm fine. But then there's another level, much deeper level. A person that realizes, even though he is giving the class, and even though he's not a fool, he knows he is the guy that knows more in this room. He could be the boss, and he really knows his stuff, and he still thinks he's nothing. He still feels, "I'm really nothing. I'm really nothing." Not because somebody else knows more than me. No, because I do realize that I know nothing. That's bitul b'metzius. I'm completely nothing. Completely nothing. Okay, these are two examples. This is an example of two levels of bitul. So now the Rebbe wants to explain what does it mean bitul b'metzius, like the deeper level of nullification. Ke'inyan mashikosuv, as it's written by Moshe, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. V'nach numa. Moshe Rabbeinu said a couple of times, and we, referring to his brother also, Aaron and Moshe, we... what? We are what? We are like a question. What? Shu bitul bli shum metzius maus. This means ma. Ma means what? Like, I'm nothing. This means a nullification without any existence. Like, metzius and mahus is existence, essence. The words, like, fall short already. I'm nothing. Like, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Again, a couple of times. The people were rebelling against him because they wanted food, they wanted meat, they wanted all kinds of things in the desert. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, "You rebel against me? Nothing. Talk to God. He's the boss. You think I'm giving you, I'm not giving you? I'm nothing." That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Ke'inyan blima shenizka b'sefi yetzira. And this is something similar to an expression that is written in Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is the book of formation, very ancient book. Some people say Avraham Avinu wrote it. Some people say Adam Arishon wrote it. Whatever, nobody knows. But the point is, some say it's a Kabbalah book, some say it's a philosophy book. I don't know either. Doesn't matter. The point is that over there it brings the idea of blimah. without what? There's a level over there being spoken about that is blimma. Eser spheres blimma. 10 expressions without a what? Like without a independent existence from God. I know that means mi prekib emes gam ma shenibre anire anivre le metzius davar ma, because the truth is that even whatever you see and the creation is seen as something existing, like I see my computer and it's here and I use it, keshetaskil boy heite, when if you really think about it properly, timtza shegam ze koyach eloka kule, you will find that this is also a godly force. What do you think? Is a computer? A computer. There's nothing over there. It's just God. It's a godly force creating a computer. Benimtza comes out. Kilo yesh shum metzius ulas izbara. Hamechayu mehavi kolani netzalim benivraim netzalim benaisim. It comes out that there's no existence except for Him, for God, that gives life and creates all the emanations, all the creations, all the formations, all the actions, whatever the four worlds talk is spoken about in Kabbalah, whatever that means. Who metziusam, He, God, is their real existence, vekiumam, and their real sustenance, vechayusam, and their real life, veinshu metzius ulas izbarachul, and there's nothing, no other creation except for Him. Nothing else. Alpi kolanal, according to all of this that we mentioned, yuvaninyan mitzvos leyachdei, shemeruma zetevas echad. Now we're going back to the beginning, basically. Now we're going to understand this idea of a commandment. There's a commandment in the Torah that actually, interestingly, applies also to Bnei Noach, of unifying God. What does that mean to unify God? To believe, to understand, whatever, that He is one. There's no two gods, no three gods, He's just one. And we asked many classes ago, when we started, it seems that it would be much better for the Torah to say that God is Yochid, He's unique, not that He's one. Because one sounds like could be two, but it's just one. No, but they can't be two. It's impossible. It's just one. So why does it say one and not unique? Hainu, now we're going to understand a little bit better. Shehagam shenivru shiva rekim ve'aretz dal ruchis ha'olam. Even though, actually, they were created, seven heavens and the earth, that refers to the word, to the letter ches, which means the number eight, and there are four directions in the world, that means the letter dalet, which represents the number four. There is a world, like open your eyes and you will see a world. You can't say it's not there. Mikol Makom, however, me'achar shem betelim legamle v'kanal, since they are completely nullified, as we explained, nimtza she'en shum metzius ulas izbarach, comes out that there's no other creation except for God. Ve'zeu meruma zetivas echad daik, davki. This is alluded to in the word echad, one, and not the word unique, yochid. Why? Sheimaya nemar yochid. If the Torah would have said yochid, which means unique, hayanishma shelokusu yochid umeyuchad, we would understand that godliness is something unique, completely unique, special, whatever. Aval anivraim b'sheshisim b'reishis umetzius. But the creation that was created in the six days of creation, they exist also. They are something. If you say Yochid means, yeah, you know what? Godliness is something very special, very whatever. He's alone over there, but I see a world. So the world is also over here. That's what had been that would have been alluded to if the Torah would have said Yochid, unique. Like the creation is not godliness. Creation is a creation, and God is God. Aval kishenemar echod. But if you say one, that God is Echad one, merumas sheagam shenivra ha'olam b'shiva rekim ba'aretz v'dal ruchos ha'olam v'dal ruchos em betelim betachlis lebechinas ha'alef aluva shel olam. It's alluded in the word one, Echad, that even though there is a creation of a world with seven heavens and the earth and the dalet in the four directions of the world and so on, all of that is completely nullified to the letter Aleph, which refers to Alufo Shel Olam, the master of the world. Amechayu Mehave Akol Chule, that gives life and creates everything, etc. Before moving on, what is the Rebbe saying? Very simple explanation. Yochid would mean God is separated from the world. God is God and he's very nice and good and so holy and so on. But the world is something separated from him. That's the word Yochid. God is unique. But now that says the word Echod means even in the physical world, even there's only godliness. The word Yachid would not mean that. No, sir, no, sir. Yachid means God is God and he's very nice. And the world is a physical thing that exists by itself. Oh, God created it. Of course, God created it. But it's here. And it's not godliness. In other words, if I don't remember wrong, Choyves HaLevavos brings this idea, the duties of the heart in the first portal that talks about the unity of God, whatever. If I don't remember wrong, but if it would have been stated Yochid, it would be unique, that God is unique, it would have been impossible, by definition, for the human being to grasp anything about God, even to have the idea that there is such a thing as godliness. Like, no human being in the whole story of the humanity would have ever thought that there's a God. It would be impossible. Why? Because he's Yochid. He's unique. He's separated completely from creation. That means it's impossible for us to think about him. It's like, I know this is fantasy, like science fiction, whatever, but it would be like saying, we don't understand the Martians. We go to Mars and we put a car over there and Mars is walking in the surface of Mars and we don't see any Martians and we say there's no life in Mars. Ah, you fool. You just don't see it. You don't see the life in Mars. Why? Because we human beings, I'm not saying that there's life in Mars. I have no idea. This is just just an example. But we as human beings look for life the way we understand life. The way we think is the only way there could be life. It's a cell and it has proteins and whatever it has, I don't know. Whatever science says is life and the creatures and the molecules and the atoms and so on. But it could be that there's something else completely different that we can't even imagine what it means, that there's somebody over there in Mars, in the whole society over there going on and we don't see it. Because it works completely different and we can't even imagine what it means. So we go to Mars and say, there's no life over here. I thought there were Martians over here with three eyes and there's nothing there. What do you mean there's nothing? You don't see it. There is something. Okay, this is the example. I don't know if there's life in Mars. I don't care either. But actually, there's a letter of the Rebbe. Very interesting. Not a letter. A private message. There was a Professor Velvel Green. That's his name. He passed away. Not long ago, he was a microbiologist from NASA, from the United States. And he looked and he worked so many years, like 40 years, I don't know, understanding the life of bacteria in space. Huge minds, whatever. And he asked the Rebbe once in the 60s. He asked the Rebbe, Rebbe, should we continue? He was a religious Jew. Should we continue to look for life in outer space? And the Rebbe answered, who actually also was a scientist, the Rebbe answered, yes, you should continue to look for. Why? Because if you stop looking for life, you're limiting God. God can do anything he wants. God can make Martians with three eyes. Or Martians we can't see, whatever. He's not limited to you, to your ideas. He's unlimited. So you continue looking for life. What's the problem? God can do anything he wants. So all of this is to explain the idea that if it would have been stated in the Torah, the word Yochid, unique, God would be completely out of this world, completely separated from this world, we would not be able to understand anything, not even come up with the idea that, the, you know what, there's a God. What do you mean? You're nuts. There's no such a thing. We wouldn't be able even to talk about it, think about it. Now that the Torah says Echod, Echod means one, and that gives room, so to speak, to, chas v'shalom, God forbid, to think that there could be two, three, four, whatever. Ah, now that there is a world, you know what? God is one with the world, or the world is one with God. Even if you see a world, but he is also within this world. Don't limit God. He's not only a spiritual thing. He's even within this world. That's why he says one, Echod. On this, there's a song, Igdal Elokim Chai, Ishtabach. I don't know, we don't sing it in Chabad, but there is such a song regarding the 13 principles of the Rambam, of Judaism, and so on. It's called Igdal. You can look it up, you'll find it. Igdal Elokim Chai, and so on. Okay, Ashkenazim like this. Okay, in Chabad, we don't sing this, but this is what the Rebbe is talking about. Echod, then emar, yesh echod ve'ein sheini. There's one, and there's no two. There's one, but not two. Pirush, what does that mean? Hagam ki echod, yesh gam echod amonoi. Even though when you say one, you actually are saying one in an accountable way. One, two, three, four, five. You say one, okay, I just said one. It could be two. Aval elokuz hu echod ve'ein sheini lo sheini. But you know what? God is one, but there's no two. And again, why doesn't say Yochid? Just say unique. No. Unique means no access to godliness at all. One means access to godliness, but there's no two. This is a different one. It's not one that could be, there could be two. You see, this is the whole point of the Maimer, actually. When the Torah says Echod, one, the truth is, it is as if it would have been said Yochid, unique. Rak nemar echod, but the Torah wrote one, b'chedei sheyuvan ve'irmois be'ateiva she'ag, in order to allude, understand and allude in this word, she'agam she'nivru shivarakim ve'eres v'dal ruchois, that even though there were created seven heavens and the earth and four directions and so on, mikol makam and betelim betachlis v'chinas alef, even so, they are nullified, completely nullified to the first letter of this word, Aleph, which means Aluva Shalom, the master of the world, Amechaye Umehavik Al Nivraim Chule, that gives life and creates all the creatures and so on. Nimtza comes out. Nimtza Lefize, Loi Shayach Inyan Ashituf Klal. According to this, there's no possibility of associating God with anything at all. Shituf, what are you talking about? Forget it. Me'achar shelo yesh shum metziyu zulas es baruch man nishatev loy. Because there's no other creation, existence, except for God, what are you going to associate God with? There's nothing else. Nothing else. Are you going to tell me that the angels are powerful? What are the angels? Godliness. They're also godliness. There's nothing else except for God.